Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadcasting around the world on Alexa.
On radio.com and the radio.com app.
721, as you've been hearing here on WCCO Radio this morning, Minnesota leaders unveiled a budget deal last night, and the governor of Minnesota, good enough to join us early this morning after not a whole lot of sleep, I don't think, in the last couple of weeks. That is Governor Tim Walz. Governor, congrats on getting this done.
Well, thank you, Dave. I think it's what Minnesotans expect us to do, and I'm just really proud that we were able to prove that that bipartisanship and working for Minnesota still is alive and well.
Well, tell listeners this morning, if you would, Governor, what they should know about this bipartisan budget agreement.
Yeah, as I've said all along, this is not game. It's not poker. It's not about winning and losing. It's about investing in the things that make a difference for Minnesota. And I've spoken, you know, my entire time in elected office, investing in education, making sure our population is healthy, and then making sure that our communities have the tools so that they can build a good quality of life. And so in this, what you see is pretty historic investments in education, both E-12 and in higher ed. You see a preservation of a really smart, nearly 30-year policy in the healthcare access fund. You hear it called the provider tax. But what it really does is make sure that Minnesota remains one of the healthiest or the healthiest state with the most people insured. Then we have things like broadband, a pretty big broadband expansion to finish this thing up border to border. Local government aid that makes sure that your taxes and your property taxes stay lower and there's more local money. And you know, this is the first time we came to a bipartisan agreement on time in 10 years, and it's the first time in 20 years that in the economy that we're in, there is a middle income tax cut. No governor's done that in 20 years, and this hits folks from about $39,000 to about $120,000. Takes them down a quarter percentage point, and you know the idea there is that they'll reinvest that money back in the economy. So there were things in here, and I guess I still will make the case we need to do something about our roads and bridges. I think it's the governor's job to lay out a vision and a plan. There simply wasn't an appetite to do that now, but that's not going away, and there'll be another day to bring that, you know, to figure out a plan.
So no gas tax?
No, there's not. And again, that was a proposal I brought up. It's one that it's the main functioning. It's constitutionally dedicated to roads and bridges. The need is there. That was not disputed. But the appetite was not there to do anything about it. And I'm simply not going to bring down an entire deal. I am going to talk about that, you know, four times more investment than my Republican colleagues wanted in education. We got that. We got a balanced budget. Takes into account that we're going to have to look to the future about where, you know, as an aging population, it's going to cost a little more, but let's figure out a way to deliver those in a better way. But no, the piece on transportation, now I'm open. I asked my Republican friends, you come up with a plan with me to let's figure this out.
And of course, the bonding projects as well, Governor, was part of this.
It was, which, you know, you oftentimes hear people say it's not a bonding year. That's not true. And for listeners out there, this is just capital investments. We have a AAA rating. We're one of the healthiest, you know, states as far as financial stability. And so we have the ability to borrow to keep our capital investments up. It's just like, you know, taking out a home equity loan to make sure you put a new roof on or whatever it might be. And so we're going to do one this year. We got about $500 million in there, and these will be local projects. There's a big chunk in there to help what's really important on affordable housing across the state.
The other interesting thing, I suppose, is what happens today now, and I would imagine a special session perhaps to get everything done in one day later this week?
Yeah, and you know, I said for me, the football coach in me considers this overtime, that we got this deal done before we needed to, but you need some time. The conference committees now will work out the deals. There were no policy, you know, debates, really. I've been very clear on some of these policy issues. I think we should do something on guns. I think this driver's license issue for people who are driving in Minnesota should be worked out, but that needs to be left to the will of the House and Senate, and that's what they'll do over the next few days. They're going to be the detractors, if you're a purist in this and you're on the far edges, then you're unhappy because compromise makes you unhappy. And there may be some of those that will try and drag this down. But my guess is they'll get most of this done. I'll be able to call them back in for, you know, a day or probably a day on Thursday, and we'll have this wrapped up. And Minnesotans can be proud that that vision I talked about one Minnesota, the governor's job is to bring people together to solve problems. I think we did that.
Governor, I think perhaps to me, just being in the media and in this day and age of social media, I cannot believe how quiet you were able to keep all of this with no leaks that I'm aware of. How did you manage to pull that off?
Yeah, I think I'm starting to get a reputation for that during our transition. It was based on trust, and I think there is definitely a better way to do this, and I think now we'll have time to come back at this. The media's job is foundational to the democracy, and I think getting out as much information as we can, but I think people know in human nature, you've got to be able to have the trust, and this is where, as I said yesterday, you need to have, you know, trust that what you say in that room is not going to come out, that you don't go use it against someone. Because to get a compromise, you've got to look somebody in the eye and float some things that are really hard, that are not going to be super popular with your own base, that are going to ask the other person to do the same thing. And I think negotiations at the heart of them are really about trust. And we've said it this entire session that trying to change the tone of what's happening was critical to me. I think developing a trust with Senator Gazelka, with Speaker Hortman, for them to look at me and disagree strongly with me, and you can imagine that there were some heated discussions about differences, but trust and, you know, that respect. And I think that's what kept it quiet.
What happens the rest of the day and week for you now?
Well, what I'll do is my commissioners are out working incredibly hard. Obviously, they're part of this, too. This is what happens in divided government. So the House will have their debates. The Senate, the conference committees will come together. We'll be as a part of that. We'll be making the cases. We'll be looking at technical changes that you know, may come up, need to tweak this thing. And then I think my job now is to explain to Minnesotans what they got. This is hard to follow. People are busy. It's not that it's behind closed doors. Most of this was very clearly debated the 4 months going up, and I would argue for 2 years. And it's to get out and explain to them how this impacts their lives. But I can tell you, with only one of two divided governments in the country, state governments, at a time when there are vast ideological differences and very dysfunctional D.C., this is a pretty amazing thing. I know you're not supposed to get patted on the back for things you're supposed to do anyway, but this is actually a rarity now. And so my job is to get out and explain it, make it work. And then, of course, the executive branch's job is now really kicks in to implement these policy changes. We have some fundamental changes to bring our corrections system, I would argue, to modernize it, to make more sense, and some new proposals in there to start to move us into the future. And that's what we get to do.
And now you can readjust your sleep schedule.
Boy, I certainly hope so. I do not do well at 3 a.m. So.
Governor, I appreciate your time. I know you're busy this morning, but very kind of you to take the time to explain this to us. Congrats on getting this done last night.
Thanks, Dave. Talk to you soon.
He is the governor of Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz, WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.